Adam Gold will be back soon enough. Monday, I believe, will be some of his greatest interviews from the year.
Yeah.
Then we're back to live shows Tuesday with Adam Gold. And you can always catch him doing hurricane stuff if you really miss him that much, which I understand.
Yeah.
You guys have a good synergy, a great show going on.
It's fun times.
You're making things healthy. At least, hopefully, day drinking doesn't come up as much during the normal Adam Gold show. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's, people, yeah. Okay?
Yes.
If we've mentioned day drinking. It doesn't mean that we would do that, you know, every day, all day, right. All year.
See, we have to capitalize on it because we can't day drink all the time.
Yes.
So when you can, you got to jump on
and,
it.
And obviously never during the show. There's video on us now.
Yes.
So people can, you know, I don't even bring drinks in the studio anymore.
Yeah.
We're sharp on that here.
I know.
Too much cool equipment, which is smart because I would spill. But yeah, so it's getting near the end of the time. However, we still do have a long weekend. A lot of people get the New Year's Day because it falls on a Sunday, that second day off. So you don't quite have to put pants on yet.
Yeah.
And I got to say, as nice as it was to have the sun out, and even I think it's going to get like close to 70 this weekend.
So crazy.
It would be a terrible weekend to have like a little ice and 15 degrees because it's a great weekend to just veg on the couch.
Yeah, not do anything.
There'd be a great excuse because it has been bowl week all week, but now it's like sports weekend, mm-hmm. including we've got ACC men's hoops tipping right now. We've got the Duke's Mayo Bowl about to kick right now. If you're an NC State fan, you just got to sit and go nowhere. You got a Mayo Bowl straight into a huge conference game versus Clemson.
Yep.
So, yes, it is North Carolina, so you expect nothing less than a, you know, 60-degree temperature change in a week or whatever it was.
Right, yeah. 30 but at least.
I wouldn't, for one, hate a more of an excuse to sit and watch all the sports that are going to be on today, including, I think it's like 5 bowl games today, great ACC basketball slate. We had ACC women's last night, and then obviously NFL football kicks in all weekend long, and the college football playoffs that take place tomorrow. So it's all there. And you know, like if a game goes bad, a second half is bad, New Year's Eve weekend, you know you got movie marathons on.
Absolutely.
The Godfather is on somewhere right now.
Everywhere.
I don't know if it's AMC. Somebody's probably doing the Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, you better believe The Office is going to be somewhere.
Somewhere's running the whole Friends series, the whole Office series. Yeah. Like, there's good TV options. One of the funniest things to me about all of those things is that they're all accessible on streaming things that I pay for regularly.
Yeah.
But I would never turn on a stream to watch, you know, a random Star Wars movie now or a random Office episode.
Yeah.
But if it like comes on, it's like halftime of the game.
I'm there.
You're like, oh, you know what? I can catch up on the DVR.
Mm-hmm. I love The Office. I could watch that. That's one of those shows I could watch forever and always.
We should do a ranking of the all-time greatest like cable. And their heyday was when you didn't have streaming options.
Yes.
Where you were beholden to the offering on the cable options.
You watched it and you missed it.
But on in those days, they showed out during New Year's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to get, you know, I mean, I guess the Avengers stuff has all been in streaming, but you were going to get a Godfather run. You were going to get a Law and Order marathon all day somewhere.
Yep.
Get all your options. We'll focus on the sports mostly. Sometimes we'll talk other TV options. And let's get it started as we jump out the gate. They're literally off in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. They just kicked. No time off the clock. I can't tell who's wearing what. I believe I'll tell you who's got the ball first in a second.
Oh, well, of course, yeah, it goes to commercial.
They go straight to Mayo. They know that the main character in the Duke's Mayo Bowl is the Mayo. So as they show kickoff and they immediately go to last year's Mayo dump.
Uh-huh.
They've got Dave Dorn on the screen that says, does not like Mayo. They've got Maryland coach Mike Lockley that says, puts Mayo on sandwiches. Mayo is all the discussion.
Yep.
There's a large hat already out there. And State is on defense. We'll let you know how it goes. We've got lots of things to talk about because this is just a culmination of North Carolina Bowl Week.
Bowl Week. Across America, 'tis the season to celebrate college football. From city to city, the passion is unrivaled. Coast to coast and beyond, the nation comes alive for Capital One Bowl Week.
And so does the state of North Carolina, because we had six bowl games. We won the Celebration Bowl, NC Central 41-34 over Jackson State. We won the Gasparilla Bowl, Wake Forest over an SEC team. Doesn't matter which one, it was an SEC team. We won the Birmingham Bowl, ECU over Coastal 53-29, and it wasn't that close. We won the Military Bowl 30-13, Duke over Central Florida. And then it all fell apart in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
4-1, Oregon 28, UNC 27 in the Holiday Bowl. But technically, if you're counting score, if you're in Vegas, right, the Eagles did cover. So we still are undefeated in the money making.
Mac Brown was right. And there were two winners.
And we're trying to make it 6-0 in Vegas, 5-1 on the field. In NC State, Maryland. Looks like Maryland already got a nice chunk play. I don't know how many yards it was, but it was a decent amount. The series is tied between these old ACC foes, 33-33-4. Last time they met, Maryland won 42-21. And Maryland has done a good job of dashing State's dreams in the past. We'll see if NC State can join Duke and UNC at the 9-win level. We've been joking about it being North Carolina Bowl week. Obviously, none of these are top-tier bowl games. Some of these are good bowl games. None of them are great bowl games, yeah, right? None of them are technically New Year's Six or obviously not college football playoff. But I'm going to ask Luke to talk about this later. By the numbers, this has to be the best season in the state of North Carolina collectively, and the numbers I'm talking about are wins. We had 9-win seasons for UNC, Duke, and I'm giving NC State the win over Maryland and making that 9. That's 27 wins. We had 8-win seasons at Wake Forest and ECU. That's 43 wins. 6 wins for App State, and that's a down year for them. That's 49 wins. Divided by those 6 teams, that's an average of over 8 wins,
yeah,
spread across 6 teams. Charlotte, I don't, yeah, really count them. But even with them dragging the average down, there's no way we've ever had all those teams up that much. 8- and 9-win seasons. I know they don't get you in New Year's Six bowls necessarily, but they're not the norm of the history of Duke, State, UNC, Wake, and ECU football, right? So, like, it's weird the way that it came about. Duke is obviously celebrating, but because Duke football isn't highly celebrated, it doesn't quite feel as good. Because, like, App got those huge wins and was the story at the start of the season, even though one of their big games was a loss to UNC. It was just so fun. Then winning at Texas A&M, then winning in crazy fashion in game day. But then technically, it wasn't a great season for them. It was a disappointing season for them. ECU fan, we had one call in. Great season, a great, you know, culmination to Holt Naylor's career and the turnaround for Mike Houston and the future's bright and all that. But you still look at, man, if we had beat NC State.
Yeah.
And the Navy game, you know, whichever, there were a couple other close ones. And even Duke, who likes all their wins and loves it, still looks at, like, multiple games. And it was like, I think we tallied 8 points,
yes,
decided their 3 super ACC close losses.
Yep.
Like, there's disappointment there. UNC, same thing. If you told UNC at the beginning of the year you win 9 games and your quarterback will be the freshman of the year and one of the best quarterbacks in the country, you'd be like, that's a great season. But because they were at one point 5-1.
Yep, going into OTs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whatever it was, and losing 4 in a row to close the season, it feels like a disappointment. So it's an odd time to be a North Carolina football fan, the state of North Carolina, because if it was a really, really, really good season, and it really doesn't feel that way. It's almost like, sometimes you play golf and, you know, you add up your score and it was a decent score for you, but, like, you didn't make any birdies. You didn't make a ton of pars. You just didn't have a lot of double bogeys or triple bogeys. So, like, your score ends up being, like, pretty good for you. But you're not walking away being like, man, I crushed it
this
that round.
Great. Yeah.
Right? That's kind of how it feels. Or like, even better example, you had a good scoring round of golf, but, like, you missed birdie putts. Like, you had the opportunity to have a really good round, and instead it just feels like you had a slightly unsatisfactory round, even though it was a really good round for you. That's what it was for North Carolina this year. And we'll see if NC State, even if NC State ends up with just 8 wins, that's not going to change the average, yeah, that much. It's overall, collectively, what you'd like is, for the best season for North Carolina football would be one team either in the college football playoff or in a huge bowl game against somebody else, another team, you know, with 9 wins and in a conference championship game or whatever. Like, you'd like for there to be a crown jewel for the great season, and there isn't that for this for these North Carolina teams. It's just a bunch of pretty good and well above historical average seasons spread out among all these teams at the same time. So, I don't know. Nobody roots for all of those teams. You know, that's the problem. Every fan base has a reason to be a little bit excited and a little bit disappointed. There are tons of games on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Monday, excuse me. No bowl games on Sunday. But the ones that are the most important, Ohio State and Georgia in the Peach Bowl at 8 o'clock. TCU, Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl at 4 o'clock. I know that Georgia has basically dominated for the last 2 years, even though they didn't technically dominate last year until they won the championship, because the championship had so long eluded them, right? Once they won the championship, then you looked at their seasons like that was a pretty dominant season, even though they didn't go undefeated. They lost the one time to Alabama. Then having the target on their backs, being the defending champs, and being as dominant as they have been this season, now they start to feel like they're on top, but they haven't quite put together back-to-back good college football playoff showings. And for some reason, last night I was watching Scott Van Pelt, and he was making his picks for the weekend, and it's a pretty big spread. So he was taking like 6.5 points from Ohio State. I'm just saying, I don't feel the same way as I do about Georgia in the college football playoff as I did about Alabama when they were in that position.
That makes sense.
Even if Georgia is, you know, the defending champions and looked strong all season, right? And deserving the number one spot, the number one seed, and deserving of being the favorite. I don't know. I don't fear them as much as I would fear an Alabama in that position. TCU, Michigan. Chip Patterson told us the stat of how often the favorite does win in these semifinals. I feel like Michigan might take it to TCU, but we will see. I hope it's not a Michigan-Ohio State final. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be excited for both those games. In other college football news, Sam Hartman from Wake Forest has officially entered the transfer portal. The reports are that he will go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yes, 5 college football games today. The only one we care about right now is the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, that's been going back and forth, actually. I don't know if you noticed, but there's been some big plays here lately.
No, we will keep you updated. All right, there were no North Carolina teams yesterday, but the ACC did go 1-1. Minnesota 28 over Syracuse 20 in the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Florida State beat Oklahoma 35-32. This was a great game in the Cheez-It Bowl. Two, you know, big programs. Even if Oklahoma didn't have the great record, they were into it. They were playing hard. They looked good. They, you know, it was a high-quality game, including who was my man for Florida State that had 8 receptions, 200 yards, Miller. I forget his first name, including one. It wasn't quite a one-handed reception, but it was like a 40-yard pass, and he kind of guided it to his body with one hand and then tucked it in with the other hand, but like not at the same time almost, while running, and it was like over his head.
Yeah.
Just an incredible run. And I got beef with Oklahoma, or maybe it's the ESPN production crew.
Oh, do you?
I guess, I'm sure this is per tradition, or Oklahoma, like, shoots off a gun every time they do a kickoff.
Okay.
But it was way too loud.
Oh.
Wait, we do not need to mic that thing. It wasn't even there to, like, startle me. It's like, because it was coming through a mic, it was, instead of, like, a gunshot on a movie that's loud, it had this, like,
abrasive to your ears.
Yeah, exactly. Is that me doing an impersonation of, like, a TV speaker being blown up? Like, it didn't sound good.
It was
good.
Too much. Well, you know, I live in the country, so I hear gunshots all the time. I guess I'm used to it, but
it was like, we gotta stop that. But the big win for Florida State, again, to cap a great second half of the season for them, and maybe reason to start thinking of them as a top 25 team next year and actually returning to the glory of Florida State. And then Washington beat Texas 27-20 in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Washington came out of the game. This is what you want out of a bowl game, right? Out of a bowl team. Washington took the opening kick, and they ran a flea flicker, baby.
Uh-oh.
Trick plays, everything out, empty the bag, flea flicker for the first play. But here's the problem. They backed it up, with a timeout.
What?
It's like they came out like, oh, we're hair on fire. We're running a flea flicker, trick plays. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then they couldn't get the next play off. And then that game, so it went flea flicker, timeout, interception, but then a punt block to get the ball back. It was crazy. It was all the bowl action. I loved it. So, good bowl game yesterday. Oh, another great bowl moment. I forgot this from the Cheez-It poll. The whole team, like, there was a dude, I can't even remember what player it was. He had to be taken off on the cart. And, like, I think he was having a leg stabilized. And as he started to run off, as the cart started to move, you know, one or two guys from the team started running over to like, dap him up, be like, goodbye. And then two dudes saw that, and then, like, four dudes went. They're like, eight dudes. Oh. So, like, the whole team was, like, running to say, like, bye to the dude. Because, you know, it was almost like they realized. I mean, oftentimes the guys go off for the injury. They know it's for the end of the year. But it was like, wait a minute, this is our last game.
This
like,
is the end of the year, you know, yeah.
I'm sure they'll see him again. But it was it's a moment that touched my heart.
So sweet.
All right, like we said, it's not just bowl games anymore. We've got ACC men's hoops action this weekend,
yeah,
and
we
it is hot, including UNC at Pitt right now. I should have timed that up better when we weren't in a commercial break, so I had the score across the bottom of the screen. Still no score in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, if you're looking for an update there. But UNC trying to stay on track after seemingly riding the ship over the holiday break with big wins against Ohio State and Michigan. So I guess UNC wins the college football playoff based on their basketball
prowess
this weekend. Then big game for NC State hosting Clemson today at 4 o'clock. My friend Josh Goodson is always good with this, and I'm sure whatever fan site you follow, they have tried to make the NCAA selection process a little more transparent. In telling you the exact criteria that you need. That's why all these years now we start hearing about quad one wins or like bad losses, quad three and quad four losses. But I think even Jillio will say that losses don't even matter. Like, it's quad one wins are the biggest thing that you can get. So, like, if you beat a team, you know, back in October or whatever, whenever the season opened, November, and then later they go on a big run, let's say you played at that place and you beat them, or you beat them on a neutral court, they have a good conference run, and all of a sudden, they rise in the ranking, and a team you beat that didn't seem like it would help you that much at the time is a quad two or a quad one win. It's huge, right? But it also allows you to map out which games are going to matter for you. When you play bad teams at home, obviously losing is worse than winning, but like winning those games don't help you that much in terms of the NCAA formula. So you can look at your schedule and say which games are the most important ones on the road with opportunities to get quad one wins on the road and at home. I don't know if Clemson is a quad one win, but they might be right now. Brad Brownell usually does a good job of having his team on the bubble. Whether or not they get in, they're usually a helpful win for other teams on their resume. That's it's often how it goes. So a big win for a big game for NC State today as they try to pad their NCAA resume. Tomorrow, a big game as well. Florida State at Duke. Historically a pretty good game, but Florida State has been terrible this year. Although it would be very Florida State of them to have a terrible, terrible, very good, no good, very bad non-conference season.
Yeah.
Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad conference season.
Yes.
And then turn around and be like the formidable Florida State opponent that they are.
Of course.
And like make the ACC look bad by going 500 or better. So let's see if Duke can shut them down and keep that from happening. And Virginia Tech at Wake Forest, that game also tomorrow at noon. ACC women's hoops. Big games last night. Big upsets last night. Here locally, it was Duke over number 6 NC State, 70-258. Unranked Duke, but they're now 12-1.
Wow.
And I got to imagine, I don't know, I can't tell you what all their wins are, but I got to imagine beating number 6 NC State has got to have Duke at least flirting with the top, with getting ranked. We'll see if that happens. They have Syracuse on New Year's Day. And then Florida State upset number 13, UNC 78-71, or at least an upset by the rankings. UNC will take on ranked Virginia Tech on Sunday. So bad losses for NC State and UNC. Good win for Duke. And we'll see. NC State's in that sort of maybe a rebuild year. They're back-to-back-to-back ACC champs, I believe.
Oh.
Pandemic.
Yeah,
I forget which years we played and which years we didn't. But
it's all a blur.
But yes, we'll see what NC State can do to right the ship, and we'll see how good Duke is going to be. Next up, the Hornets. You got to talk about the Hornets when they win a game, baby.
Yeah.
121-113 over the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. LaMelo Ball led the way with a 27-10 and 9 assist effort. 1 assist short of the triple-double. He also had a couple sick passes, including one behind-the-back pass, where he also, they didn't really talk about this, but when he behind-the-back pass, it kind of allowed him to also, like, screen the dude and just be like, oh, no, I'm just, you know, I'm falling into you without it being a charge because the guy was kind of beside him. It's a crafty little move, and I want to use it much. Much like something I don't know if LaMelo, we can ask Brian Geisker a little bit later if he's seen this. There are people making more use of the backboard pass now, like not just breakaway, this will be cool, I'll throw it off the glass and you dunk it. But the glass is like, if you practice it, it's a very useful tool.
Yeah.
Like if you can, if pretend you're like boxing out a guy, and so like instead of throwing over the top, you throw it off the glass and then it comes down to your dude, right?
Right.
Or like Trae Young has been good about it. He's running and is he going to do a floater or is he going to float it up a little bit higher and he goes off the glass coming to, he sees a guy coming on the weak side.
Which is risky.
I want to see LaMelo Ball start using the glass a little bit more. That's what I'd like to see. And in professional teams that actually win a lot, the Carolina Hurricanes are back in action tonight. The Florida Panthers are in town. This game is at 7:30.
Yep.
A little bit later start streaming on ESPN Plus. So not a Bally game. It will still be carried on the radio on the flagship 99.9 The Fan. But yes, check out the Canes trying to go for 10 wins in a row. But just know that the game starts a little bit later. I should have gotten a Hurricanes guest today. That's on me. That's my bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. We'll see. A lot going on. It's bowl week, so bowl brain.
I know. I couldn't have gotten a player today. I maybe could have even gotten a player yesterday. I bet Rod would have stopped by. Rod enjoys a breath of fresh air. He always tells me that when I interview him. Go Canes tonight. 10 in a row. They're going for it. It's so crazy what the discussion was about the Hurricanes before their last, like, 15-game stretch. I think they're getting points in.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't know, what's wrong? And I think there were a lot of smart people being like, nothing. Even at that point, they were in obviously good playoff shape. And, you know, there were injuries guys are expected to have. They weren't having. Sebastian Aho was out, even though they were winning a lot without Sebastian Aho. And now it's like, you know, I don't think the conversation should be the Canes are the best team in the league, but they weren't going to be as bad as they looked at their worst, right?
Yeah.
Just like they're not going to go undefeated for the rest of the year, but the answer is they're probably still among the best 3 to 5 teams in the NHL.
They're leading the Metro Division.
Even if they dip out of that at some point in the point totals, we've seen them at their hottest. We'll see them again, you know, maybe have a 2 or 3 game skid, but they are going to be a playoff team, and all of this is cool. And the win streak, if it breaks records, great. We'll talk about that. But these Hurricanes will only be judged by the playoffs.
Yes.
That's how it is. They know that. They want it that way. That's when you have raised the expectations for yourself to the point that that's where you're being judged.
Yeah.
That means you've done good things.
Absolutely.
Right? So they have taken all the steps before the step that is start contending for a cup. That doesn't even necessarily mean the Stanley Cup Finals or winning the cup. But you better be darn close to fighting for a conference championship spot.
Yeah.
Or you're falling short of expectations at this point, right?
Absolutely.
I think up to this point in the season, it would have been nice to have gone further in the playoffs. And up to this point in the Rod Brind'Amour era, it would have been nice to go further in the playoffs, but at no time was it like, oh man, we really blew our best chance there, right? I mean, every chance you have a chance, you got to take it, right?
Yeah.
But this is the first time. Forgive the 10 wins. Forget whatever losses or wins come after this between now and April or whenever the games start. That is where these Hurricanes will be judged. And because sports radio, we're contractually obligated to talk about the NFL. The Cowboys beat the Titans last night, 27-13. Kind of a blah game, typical Thursday nighter. Cowboys technically stay alive for their division title. And I know the joke has been about how bad the NFC South has been. And maybe I've missed it because we're just in Panthers country. We talk about how bad the NFC South has been. Did we talk about how bad the AFC South has been?
It is pretty bad.
They're terrible.
It is.
Maybe somebody got off to a decent start, and so it looked better. But like,
I think that's what it is.
Texans and Colts, terrible.
Awful.
The Jags are like leading the division. Mm-hmm. Now the Titans are still, you know, a game and a half below .500, I think, or two games below .500. And they've got a chance to win the division.
It was weird. Last night, they had little blurbs where they looked like they were trying to be competitive, and then, oh, back to being the Texans.
They are every bit, that division is every bit as bad. What they should do is now let either of those divisions have a playoff spot. Have an exception. If you don't finish 500, you get to go play in a loser's tournament. Like, we need to square off AFC South versus NFC South. And, that's how, these are going to be the terrible teams that get the good draft picks. Mm-hmm. But, that game should determine, who gets the best draft pick. Like, you crappy divisions,
right.
Play for it to win it. You don't earn the number one pick by losing.
Yeah.
You earn it by beating the other sorry team.
Exactly.
That's what I want. We did, however, get to see in last night's game, 2 Chainz give a shout out to Al Michaels, and Al Michaels give the love right back to 2 Chainz.
All right, here with Grammy Award winner artist 21 Savage. Tonight he will be gracing the stage and debuting new songs from his new and number one album, Her Loss. Now I want everybody to pull up, including you, Al Michaels.
Including you, Al.
Let's get it.
1,000%. I mean, our boy, too. I love doing that promo.
You do. You have all year.
Loves it as well. I mean, 2 Chainz, preempts us. There's our man.
He did his own promo this week. Get to the final week of the year, he said.
Got
to
stay tuned.
And then he gave you a shout-out for all the love you've given him all year.
I want you to pull up. Even you, Al. 21 Savage also threw an Al in there. So, yes, that was a great moment of last night's game. And, of course, the Panthers take on Tampa Sunday at 1 o'clock. Josh Norman is back on the team.
I know.
And I don't know if there was a Twitter flurry. Steve Smith was like, oh, let's do this.
Let's go.
Get Luke Kuechly. Let's go.
Trey Boston got in on it.
100% take Steve Smith. Getting snaps right now for the Panthers.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would believe that he would contribute.
I love 89. Plus,
without
Josh
a doubt.
Norman, he has a different number because his old number is being used right now, so I think it's 23.
Just don't do the UNC thing and just throw another jersey
over
random
jersey.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that.